Let's pause it all this.
Woo! Put Scooter on the phone, you bird brain.
What do you do, backflips? You jump up there in a silly suit? What do you do?
You go bam! I want you to play that.
Okay. All right, we are on. Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Fast Freddy Rocks Youngstown. And we are coming to you from the state-of-the-art Youngstown studios here.
It's very nice.
In downtown Youngstown. And my special guest is a woman I've been trying to get on. Well, I have obviously haven't been trying that hard because
That's
you would have been here the first time I would ask you.
That's right.
No, I did say that I was going to get you on sooner or later.
And it's a good time. Like we were talking about, it's a good time to do it.
Right. My friend here today is Cindy Farina from Sin City and the Saints and a bunch of other bands that we will get into.
Yeah.
And Becky is here along with us. And first off, and the most important thing that we want to talk about before we get into our hazy stagger down gin mill memory lane. So once we get into some of our old stories and just talk about some of our good old times, we want to start off on a serious note. Now, your brother, Carl, who is also a well-known local musician,
yeah,
who's drummer, been around since
the 70s.
Yeah, since day one. Now he's battling cancer, unfortunately.
Cancer.
Oh boy. And so we are having a benefit for him coming up this Sunday. And that's
this
what we
Sunday,
want to talk about right off the
Yeah.
So Becky, you want to jump in and give us a little bit of scoop on the big benefit for Carl?
Yeah, the big benefit is going to be at Westside Bowl in Youngstown on Mahoning Avenue. It's going to be Sunday from noon to 6. Cindy's playing. There's going to be four other bands, correct?
Yes.
And there's going to be a pizza buffet, salad, sheet cake, Chinese auction, 50-50. We're selling t-shirts. We're going to dance and everything. We're going to just show Carl the love. I've got flyers everywhere. I hung up 200 flyers on 200 telephone poles.
Like the old days.
Yeah.
I just went everywhere and I just, you know, crossed Raccoon Road and crossing 46. My daughter thought I was going to get hit by a car. And I just, you know, took my staple gun and went to town and I just spread the word and just kept asking people, please spread the word and start sharing it on Facebook. And before I knew it, it just blossomed. And the Chinese auction, I mean, it's just going to be fabulous. We're going to have like 70 baskets.
Oh, that is going to be awesome.
And so it's $20 for the adult, $10 for the kids.
Can't beat it.
They can even bowl, but they have to pay for that.
Right.
And stuff. But I mean, honestly, this is for Carl. I grew up with Cindy and Carl. We were neighbors. And when I was little, we used to ride our bicycles down and sit in the driveway and listen to them practice.
Yeah,
that's
practice in the garage.
They practiced in the garage when they were young, you know. And
and the neighbors let us.
Oh, that because we all it's because we were there.
You know, back in the day, that was a big thing too. We'll get to that in a little bit about some of the struggles of people with their bands back in the day and everything from your parents not wanting you to play to people with long hair to making a bunch of racket and stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's a lot of trials and tribulations that go into it that I think some people really don't realize.
You heard the music and all of them, we just jumped on our bikes and they're practicing, you know.
I just want to tell you about, you know, what this esophageal cancer. He just couldn't swallow one day. And, you know, we're thinking, you got an ulcer. That's it.
Uh-huh.
He went, you know, they went down his throat and they found the cancer. It's right above the stomach.
Oh, boy.
So he just went through all kinds of chemo and radiation. And he's just getting out of the hospital. He had to get to the hospital because he had a bacterial infection and everything. And he's dehydrated, you know.
Yeah.
But he's got
the love.
He's a trooper.
Yeah.
I never thought I would be doing a benefit for my brother.
You know what? I run into people all the time, and who knows, maybe even me or you one day. Yeah, that's why I like to help out with these things, is because you don't know. You might be the next person
that
poster. And I've seen it time and time again. As you know, once you've been around as long as us and we have so many friends and we've been out there, and then you just start seeing that.
And now our age, people are just dying. It's
really terrible.
It is.
You know, it
is
really
it our
is.
Age or is it
yeah,
just,
is it's our age? Age. And plus we know a lot of people too.
Yeah.
And I think that has something to play into it too, because it's like, oh, these guys are that guy or whatever.
It's like every day, every week, week or something.
And I remember a few years ago, one of my buddies, you know, we ended up having a bike run for him, similar situation. And that's the first thing he said, like when he walked in the benefit, he goes, I never thought I'd see my picture on that poster
and
that'd be doing one for me, you know?
Yeah, it's
rough.
He will not be at the benefit. I'm hoping Linda, his wife, will be.
Yeah, you could probably FaceTime him or something now.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, if he wants to. I know he's.
Yeah, yeah.
He will cry, you know? Uh-huh. He's very emotional.
Right.
Because everybody's doing all this for him. You just can't get over it.
Yeah. It's all about love for Carl. I mean, when I found out, I was devastated. And then all of a sudden, I just got this motivation. I'm going to help some way or the other. I'm going to spread the word. I wanted to let Carl know that we love him.
Right.
That we're going to support him. We're going to help him fight for this. He's not alone. And I just.
He couldn't have a better, Senator Picarato too.
Yeah. Oh yes.
Is helping her. Yeah. Couldn't have better people.
I'm not stopping.
You know, and I think the you know, to boost somebody's morale that's in this situation too, that something like this is really a big morale booster as well.
I just don't want him to, you know, the support, you got to feel it, you know, and when you can feel something, even, you know, emotionally, mentally, you know, your attitude, your atmosphere, everything around you, it encompasses. There's love on the west side of Youngstown.
Right.
And it is strong. And it's for Carl. And that's what we're going to do.
That is awesome. So once again, that's coming up this Sunday at the West Side Bowl, which is a great place. I'll tell you,
my daughter and her friends, Val. I mean, matter of fact, Hallie McCaskill is the one who told me to go there.
Uh-huh.
And I did. And I met Nate and it took off from there.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And they're really doing a lot for the music scene, you know, especially for the original music and that kind of thing. And they're really giving
it. They have somewhere to go. The younger generation. I mean, you know, they have somewhere to go. When we had somewhere to go in the disco days and stuff, we danced until the makeup ran off our face, you know, but we went everywhere. There's nowhere for them to go. There is the bars and they have fun, but to go and dance and just let loose, that's the place where everyone's going and it's a place to be.
Yeah, especially for the young guys and the young bands and up and coming bands and people with original material.
If we would have played original material back in the 70s stuff, people, you know, they don't want to hear it. They want to hear something.
Yeah.
They know, you know.
Yeah. It's a fine line. And that's why you've been around so long and you know that. Well, so seasoned. Long. You know what? When I saw it on Facebook, it says seasoned entertainer.
Right,
I was like, okay, yeah, because I didn't want to come in here and say, hey, me and my old friend Cindy is like, yeah, my seasoned friend Cindy there. But yeah, you know how it was. And I think that's why your bands have always been able to play is because, you know, there's two different things. You know, you could get out there and you could have a good party band and bring people in. And on the other end, you know, if you're going to go for an original sound, it's going to be a lot tougher, you know?
Yeah, yes.
It's a blast from the past.
But now it seems like not anymore because now all these bands are,
although
they can't play a full set sometimes.
Yeah.
That's why they have a lot of bands playing.
Yeah.
But at least they're going out and doing original stuff.
Yeah.
Me, I don't care. I mean, I got original stuff, but you know, just so I could do it. God gave me a gift and that's what I'm doing.
Right.
But I'm getting tired. Getting tired.
Well, I know, man. We've been at it for a while. Now, for people that aren't familiar with your brother and like his musical career, why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, he played with Merry Christmas. That's like the first band I could ever think that he played with.
Uh-huh.
And
with Bill Scudiero.
Bill Scudiero.
And they used to have that van and they used to ride around town with a van that said Merry Christmas painted on it.
You know, who thought at the time? That's actually a pretty cool name at the time.
Yeah.
I think it was so cool. And God, I remember my brother playing and getting drunk and having a Fiat and going through a cow pasture, you know, parking his car. But and then from there we played for a while. And it didn't go along real good at the time because just partying things. And so it didn't get real good. So we split ways. And then he, you know, plays with Sonny, plays with Mark Schering. And he's a talented guy. You know, he really is. And he's got a good personality besides that.
Yeah. Now, Sonny is one of the bands that's going to be there.
Yeah. Sonny's
that's another guy that I got to get in on this podcast.
Yes,
Sonny.
You do.
You know,
he'll keep you going forever, I'm sure.
Oh, I know. I want to get him in. And, you know, there's just so many people. And then, you know, now that I went back on the radio, too, it's a little tougher because I only do this sporadically now in between bike nights and everything. But Sonny is definitely on the list. And I could just imagine some of the wild times he must have had with Bill Scudiero because, you know,
Barley.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, I used to, but they used to let me play on their breaks.
Oh, yeah?
Because, yeah, you know, I listened to James Taylor, Sweet Baby James, and I'm like, that's what I want to do.
Uh-huh.
I went and I got a guitar, learned how to play myself, and I couldn't learn other people's songs, so I started writing my own stuff.
Right.
But I knew, you know, Joplin and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And but they would let me play, you know, in one of their sets, you know, one of their openings. And that was pretty cool, you know. Little did they know that this is what they created.
Right. So this is how, this is like your beginning then. So you're inspired by James Taylor.
Yeah.
And then you started playing, and then you jumped on stage with these guys in between. And that's when you really got hit by the bug, and you took it from there.
Yeah, I did.
And you haven't stopped since.
Because people are like, how do you, I'm like, I don't, you know, I don't know. It just comes, and it's a gift from God for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to say, Cindy has one of the best voices out there. She is such an awesome singer. It's too bad, like with the rules we have with the internet and stuff, though, that we can't play any music, because it'd be great.
I did bring you a CD, and I brought one for
Okay.
So
okay.
I don't know if you have a CD player, because a lot of people don't. That's
yeah, CD players are becoming obsolete now. How did the damn CD player become obsolete?
I heard they are going to put them back in cars.
Oh, that would be good. I'm a fan of the CD.
Me too.
You know, now I don't really care too much about the albums. You know, they came and went. They were a pain in the ass. But for the CD is still one of my favorites, though.
I have to use a USB in my car to, you know.
Yes. Well, you're getting there high tech. See?
Yeah.
You're getting on there on the high tech stuff. But one of my favorite songs, you know, you're talking about, you came out with that song, See Me Through.
Yeah.
And boy, I'll tell you what, to this day, I think if somebody would record that song, that could be a million selling hit.
You know, this is a true story. We were asked to play with Pure Prairie League. So we played before them. And after we got done, and after the show was done, one of the guys came up and said, we like that song. You know, we'd like to work with you on that song. And dummy me saying, oh, you know, I'm going to do it myself.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Because I didn't know, you know, I was a young kid.
Yeah.
You know, I was young. And so I don't know, should I go back and ask him, you think?
Maybe. Well, that was probably at Mahoney Country Club.
Yes, it
for
was.
One of our jamborees, for one of our birthday jamborees.
Absolutely. That's where it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Pure Prairie League was there, and you guys, and probably Sideshow, and maybe Mike Sayers, and that, you know, maybe
it
Joe
was,
Booker.
Yeah, it wasn't just us, but you know, we were asked to play, and you know, it was a good thing.
Yeah, that is an excellent song. That's on online, right? People can look that up.
Yes.
Yeah, if you want to look that up, is it under your name or is it under Bootleg?
No, both.
Oh, okay.
Both.
Yeah, See Me Through. Look up that song, and that is just a fantastic song.
Well, actually, I'm working with Mike DeVito. I don't know if you know Mike. He's a guitar player, very talented guy, plays everything, and we're going to redo it, you know, come make it fresh.
Oh, that would be very cool.
Yeah,
that would be awesome, man, because I just remember you guys would play that song. So now let's revert back. So, you know, you started there with Merry Christmas. Then from there, how did you end up like with Bootleg? Was Bootleg your first band
gigs.
Or you were doing solo
gigs? I was
doing
solo gigs. And, you know, you meet people. Then I got in a rock band called Buns Up. So, you know, I was playing. My brother was in that band also. So we were playing for a while. Then that broke up. Then I got into a band called Adult News, which was also hard rock.
Uh-huh.
Well, I ended up getting nodules.
Oh, boy.
So I got the operation. But someone, Michelle Arroyo, do you remember Michelle?
Yes. Well,
she introduced me and Kenny, who was a singer. He was playing with Bleecker Street. She goes, you know, you guys both have the same problem. So I got the operation. Kenny didn't. Right after that, me and Kenny decided to get a band together. And that was Bootleg.
Uh-huh. So that's how Bootleg started there.
Bootleg started.
So let's see. I probably, you know, we probably started getting together, I don't know, 84 80s. Or something
yeah,
like 80s, that, sometime for sure. In the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, and
I had that video of you. I told
yeah,
you.
I know you got that video. I mean, boy, you could hold me for ransom on that one.
You were a partier.
Oh.
Ready. You party.
So we were we were out there. Oh, we had so many good times, especially
it
with
was.
Bootleg. Because, you know, let's talk a little bit about that band. Who was in that band? And, you know, because you had a great lineup.
Yeah, we had Ken Gibson on keyboards, Donnie Tanner on drums. Pelicaris on guitar. I'm trying to think.
Oh, and Sammy Luther was in there.
Bass, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a really hot band. And the thing about you guys, you had such a variety, and you were such a party band. You fit in anywhere.
We played in country bars.
Right.
Country Junction.
Oh, yeah. Country Junction. Let's talk a little bit about Country Junction.
Yeah.
Wasn't that one of the most fun bars of all time?
Yeah, the best
bar around. 6 nights a week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Most of the places we played at back then were 5 or 6 nights a week, same place.
Oh, yeah. And Country Junction used to jam. That was like one of the first bars, you know, when WNIO came on and I first started. Mm-hmm. That was like one of the first bars we were affiliated with.
Really?
Yeah. And that's where we ran into you guys, of course. And like I say, I'm thinking of some of the other bands that played back then, like Joe Booker and Dakota.
That Mike DeVito played with Joe.
Oh, okay. And then, Sideshow. And of course, Mike Sayers with the Mecca Band was always another good one. That was some of our lineups for our jamborees. Then we started taking off in that direction. And then it would be you guys and, Holly Burnett had a band.
I can't think of the names, but we had a lot of bands.
You know, and then we had some
David
of the
David Paul Band.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. David Paul Band. Waco County. Remember Waco with Kenny Mowry? Boy, they were so good. You know what's crazy? Like, it seems now that country is so mainstream and everything, but back then it seemed like we had more country bars and the country scene just seemed to be, well, you know what though? Maybe it's because it's more mainstream. And I think a lot of these bands now just blur the lines, you know, kind of like you guys did.
Yeah. Right.
And I think maybe now
I like the new country myself.
Yeah.
You know. I do. A country bar can get in, a country band can get into any place we play.
Yeah.
That's how it is. You know what I mean? And vice versa. There's not really that many country bars.
No, not like when we had back then. You had the Country Junction and you had Mr. D's and the Hacienda.
Mr. D's, Hacienda.
Yeah. You know? And then later on, you know, the Hurdy-Gurdy and some of those places came along. Yeah. But I mean, for us, it was like, what, the Country Junction, the Parlor. We did a lot of work at the Parlor. We had a lot of fun down there. Everybody laughs in the Parlor.
Yeah, we were supposed to play the night the tornado hit over in Niles.
Uh-huh.
And I remember we were with Kenny, and Kenny goes, there was a tornado that just went up through our trailer park.
Yeah.
I said, Kenny, you better be at that job. You better be at that job tonight. And their lights were out. No, you know, they were all drinking at the bar still.
Yeah. But Lou and Dolly from back in the day. Boy, what a bunch of characters they were, man. Just that, you know, in the Parlor, everybody has such great memories of that place. And it was just this little dive bar on a back street in Niles.
On a back street.
You know, it was
those are the best kind of bars.
Yep.
And that's where you had the most fun.
Oh, you ain't kidding.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was by the railroad tracks on the corner of Belmont and Olive. And whenever we would do commercials, people were thinking Belmont Avenue and they're trying to find the Parlor out there. And it was just like, I know another good place you guys used to play. We'd have a good time. Switch DI.
Oh, God, that was a long time ago.
Another place by the railroad tracks. What is it with these bars by the railroad tracks?
And the Rebel.
Oh, the rebel at the truck.
It was the old rebel.
Yeah.
Small little.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot. Being a young kid, being around the rebel, let me tell you.
Explain the rebel for people that don't know.
Because
that's where I first met Mike Sayers at the rebel.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a truck stop. It was very popular. All the truckers would go there and hang out because there'd be hotels near. They'd stay at the hotels, and there was a lot of things happening in the parking lot.
I'd worked the 311 shift, and then I would go over there and listen to them.
Yeah.
And you know, you're a young girl back then and everything, and Carly would come up to me and he would say, "Now if any of those drivers, you know, start hitting on you, I'm your boyfriend."
Uh-huh.
And so he would pretend he was my boyfriend,
and "Wait a minute now, don't jump in here."
I'm sitting there at the table and on break he would come sit with me and everything, and he goes, "You just tell me if someone's bothering you." But nobody did. I just danced. I danced with everybody. Anyway,
that place had was as good.
It was a blast. It was a blast. Back in the day.
And then of course, like our main thing, our biggest parties that we threw were the jamborees and the Ridge.
Those were the bomb.
And remember how much fun those were?
Yes.
I mean, you know what? I think the thing about that was, is they were big, but they were like kind of underground. Not everybody and their brother knew about it, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just that.
Crowd, oh, we drank the Country great. Junction dry.
Yeah.
My best friend was the manager, Karen.
Yeah, Karen. I remember Karen.
Karen,
sure.
Householder.
Yeah.
Well, we would camp there and we would go to the Country Junction and get the beer and everything out of the coolers. We came back and all of a sudden we went for another trip and there was nothing left in the Country Junction. We drank it all. We brought it all to the bridge and drank it all.
And, you know, it was just so cool. And, you know, because we would have bikers, we would have everybody in there.
Everybody got along.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and we'd just...
We'd lose somebody and find them underneath the trailer where the band was playing.
And that's where everybody would go.
We'd all yeah. pass out because it was shady and nice and cool. Oh, he's over there underneath the trailer.
The backstage area back there and everything. I mean, it was just so much fun. And we had all these great bands. And, you know, you guys are usually the headliner. You are sideshow. And yeah. Because back then, man, I mean, Bootleg was the hottest band around, man. You guys guys really had the sound down. And you just played the right mix of music. And everything was just really.
We're still playing most of that music today. Are you kidding?
Yeah, hey, same with me on the radio. Same thing, man. You know, some things haven't changed. We look a little older, but the music's. That's because the music is just so great.
Yeah.
Some of these songs are just that good. Yes. Who would have thought when they first come out that 50 years from now you would be listening to these and going, damn, does that sound good?
Yeah, we're playing the same stuff.
Yeah.
From band to band to band to band, you know, all the popular stuff.
Right, right,
and
right.
People are still dancing and singing to it, though.
After I got into the Farina band.
Right.
It was Mark Sherry, my brother, and myself.
Uh-huh.
We were three-piece. I love that. It was so talented. Well, Mark would put everything on computer.
Yeah.
So everything, Carly played the drums. I played bass sometimes, but most of the music would come out of the computer.
Uh-huh.
And I just love that. We could play anything we wanted, anything. You know?
Yeah, right, right, right.
Sequencer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a computer though.
No,
in some way. Yeah, the Farina band was a lot of fun, and then what was the band that like Kenny and them guys went in after Bootleg? And I know they were more rock, and they were playing like the Cedars and places like that. I think Kenny and Sammy and started.
No,
a band
Kenny wasn't. Sammy might have been doing that.
Yeah, maybe it was Sammy
because he started the Hospital.
Oh, the Bangarillas.
Bangarillas.
The Bangarillas. That's it. They were another popular band there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I never played down Cedars.
Right.
But I know those guys did.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I thought that was kind of a change for them, you know, going from Country Junction to the Cedars.
Yeah. Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, yeah. The Bangarillas.
I think Donnie played in that, if I'm not mistaken, the drummer. I think he did, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, like I say, we were talking about, you know, the Parlor and Jamboree in the Ridge. That to this day, so many people have such great memories.
Oh, God, yeah.
Nothing has been.
And you could probably look that up online, and you could see some of these videos of me there, like in short shorts. And crazy.
You were the bomb, man.
Crazy looking stuff there. Me and Gary Z, man, boy, we would come out there, and we would just have a time and a half, you know.
You know, when you went on Facebook as Fred Woke, I was who the hell's? I knew you as Fast Freddy all my life.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, who's Fred Wilkin? Why did he change his name? You know, I was like,
You know what? I remember another crazy one we played. Remember we did that Halloween jam, and it was in downtown Warren, and it was at like the Eagles Club or something. But it was on the river, and it looked like this haunted house.
The guys that
ran it were real assholes, and then they didn't want us there because we were selling Coors beer and all. It was something really goofy.
I don't remember. Well, I've had two strokes, you know. So
Okay.
Yeah, that's why all these.
Oh man.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm still.
And me,
still
I have no me. Doing, me, you know? I have no excuse. Me, I have no excuse. Yeah, somebody's might jar your memory here. I'll tell you another one that. Then we did like all the jams at the Mahoney Country Club. We ended up doing those, I think, for like a spring jam or a.
There's always something. You guys always had something going. Always.
And some of those shows. Remember, we had some big headliners there. We had Pure Prairie League. We had Southern Pacific, which was some guys from the Doobie Brothers that went on and had a little country band there for a little bit.
I remember. Yeah.
And then we had that one guy, Jim Glazier. who had a couple songs out then. We had Vern Gosden. He was another one. And we had Steve Warner.
Yeah, you guys, it was always something happening. It was nice. Yeah, you know?
That was a good lineup then, too, because all those guys had something on the radio at that time.
Exactly.
And then, like, you know, you guys would play, and I'm just trying to think of some of the other bands. I got to look up some of them old posters.
See, you can't think of it either. It's hard, you know. That's 50. Yeah. 50. So I've been singing for 50 years. That's how, you know, that's like someone's lifetime. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And there's a lot I can't remember. A lot I can't.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It just becomes a blur after a while.
One big blur.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I was a partier, you know. I was a partier back then.
And then, unfortunately, somebody put some videos of me from like 1980 up there in short shorts.
Cindy, I gotta find more.
Cindy has some videos from Jamboree in the Ridge, and I'm there like I think I have no shirt on. I got these short pants on, and you know, and just crazy stuff. I'm looking
but good around. crazy.
But yeah, those were some fun times, huh?
Those were the days.
You're right.
Yes, they were.
Our buddy Rick Henniger from Fish and Field Report is here, and we're going to talk to Rick a little later about fishing.
Are you from Fish and Field?
Yeah.
I love fishing. I haven't in 7 years, but I love fishing.
Yeah. We all do.
Yeah.
I know he does. Big time. Your son does.
Oh, yeah. He's, you know. Well, yeah, we got this big tournament coming up this weekend, and I know that this is Rick's first time in it, and so Rick is looking forward to this.
Is this your son, Rick?
No.
Oh, Rick.
This Rick. And so Rick is going to be in it this year for the first time.
I'm the editor of Fish and Field Report.
Yeah, right. This is your first time.
Yeah.
First tournament.
Yeah.
Where's it at?
Yeah. First bass tournament.
Where's it at?
It's at Pine and Evans Lake, and it benefits the United Way. You know what it is? I'm going to let you in on a secret here.
Okay.
Or I should probably save this for our point of the show. With Rick, see, he's got this mystique that he has to carry on, you know, and he doesn't want to go out there and not win the tournament, because then he thinks he's going to lose credibility with his paper if he doesn't win. See, he wants to come out there he wants to come out there and weigh in, you know, 5 pounders. He wants a 25, 30 pound bag there. So he has bragging rights.
What I want to do more than anything is catch a bigger fish than his son.
I hear a challenge.
He's the greatest, youngest guy that we got in the state of Ohio and Pennsylvania.
I totally believe it. I've seen pictures.
The kid is good. But I'm going to put it on him this week.
Are you?
I'm going to put it on old Tyler.
And see, this is why this is going. I'll tell you what, though. Tyler put you on some big ones out at the Allegheny Mountains, man.
Yeah, on that Allegheny River. Yes,
yeah.
He did.
I'll tell you.
I never caught bass like I did down there. Never, ever.
That's a good spot. We're not going to talk too much about that. We're not going to say too much about that. Even the angles of the pictures and stuff, I had to have them pre-approved before I even put anything online.
Oh, no, we don't talk about it. I don't even write about it.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyways, So Tyler's fishing with Destin Demarion, who's also on the Pro Bass Tour. And those guys, I think they lost last year. They missed one fish, like right at the end. It fell off the boat or whatever, fell off the hook. And they're out for vengeance. They're fishing for pride this time. But if I have anything to do with it, if Rick has anything to do with it, I think we're gonna rattle that. Yeah. Yeah, I think we are. That's what we'll get. We'll talk more about that coming up here in a little bit. But getting back to our days with Cindy Farina and Bootleg. You remember Bootleg, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, do you remember us?
I remember her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was Dominic's right-hand man on a lot of these things.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I did not know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember you when I looked through the window.
Now see,
did you really?
Yes, I did.
Now see, if I wasn't here, he would probably say he was the head man in charge. You know,
I was a partner in a lot of things, and silent partner, and I kept the background. Now, when we did the fishing shows and hunting shows, then I was the
Front person.
Yeah,
gotcha.
But Dominic, I miss Dominic.
Oh, we miss him a lot every day. That's one guy. He was such a promoter and such a great guy to work with in a radio station, and just a guy that wanted to have fun and go out there and make it happen, and you know all that stuff, the rib burn off, and just all the jamborees would even do on Sunday afternoons, and Jam in the Ridge and the country club stuff and everything. I mean, that was all his doing.
What I miss the most is the radio programming that they had. Anything was loud would happen. you couldn't afford not to listen, because they had a lot of things.
What was that? What station is that?
Well, for WNIO and then WNIO, on to CD 106.
CD 106, yeah, that's right.
Oh,
they
hey,
got all kind of stuff going on every day.
Let's see. We have some people checking in here. James Anthony, good to hear from you. Dave Childers, good to hear from you, Dave. Jay Bird is on here. He was checking in a little earlier. Michelle Coupon is checking in. She's she had some good fun at the year. You can see who's all on there.
Yeah.
Douglas Brannon says, hi, Cindy.
I know Doug. Aww. I know Michelle. Youngstown Studio, I know them.
Yeah, I know them too. Oh, that's us. That's where we're at. No wonder. So how about you? What are some of your other memories or some of the other artists that you opened for and played for and some fun gigs?
Do you remember the Kendalls?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Royce and Jeannie Kendall.
Yes, we opened up for them. That was in Akron.
Uh-huh.
We got some good gigs back then. I don't know what the hell happened. I just don't know what happened. But yeah. When it came time for the CD, my friends, this is no kidding, all got together. They opened up a GoFundMe page, and they got money together for me to make a CD. I've been wanting to do that forever, and that's why I got to do the CD.
Oh, that is so awesome. Cool.
And I got a lot of the people, some of the people that I think are the best around the area, like Scott Gearhart. You know, they all, my brother played on the CD and stuff.
Uh-huh.
It was good. I had songs. I recorded songs from back in the 70 that I wrote back in the 70.
Yeah. Oh, that had to be a real thrill.
It was. Yeah. I never dreamed I could do something like that. You know, a musician, you don't make that much money. I was telling, it was a joke. I told him, I said, I'm making the same amount now that I made back in the, you know.
We all are. Yeah. DJs, everything.
You too?
You know, yeah. It's still the exact same. It has not changed. It has not changed.
I don't.
Nothing has changed as far as bar owners paying you to play there.
I don't get it.
Me either.
But then, you know, it's for as small as this town is, we have a lot of places to play. We have a lot of good, great musicians around this area. We really do.
Yeah, we always have.
Always have. I think that's because, you know, our fathers were still worked in a steel mill. We had nothing to do but sit and play music. I don't know.
Oh, you got some more people saying hi here.
Penny Hood.
Gary Cole, you remember Gary?
Oh, I remember Gary. Heck yeah, man. Gary knows what we're talking about. Gary could probably fill in the blanks for some of these brain farts that we're having.
I bet he could.
That we're having over the years.
I bet he could.
Melinda Rivera, good to hear from you. Penny Hood, Melinda, thanks for checking
in. They're all on my Facebook.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Okay, so you opened for the Kendalls in Akron. I do remember the Kendalls. We used to play them all the time.
I never knew who they were.
Yeah.
It was horrible. You know, I never knew who they were. I was young. I was young.
And you were more from the rock thing anyways, you know.
I was.
And kind of like us, you know, like me and Gary Z and stuff. We were just learning that country music as we went along.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah.
But we really did have a love for it. You know, it wasn't like, oh, we're working at a radio station, so we're going to play this stuff. I mean, we really embraced it. And
well, you guys made it. You're the ones who did it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And we
were the ones, the country, the Jam on the Ridge and stuff. It was all you guys. It wasn't the bands. It was all you guys.
Well, yeah, you know, but you know, I'm thinking of some of the other bands, you know, because you mentioned Scott Gearhart and his dad, Dick. Remember Dick Gearhart and Southern Comfort, right? Southern Comfort was his dad's band.
What was Gary's band's name? I can't remember.
What's that?
Gary, what was your band's name?
Beverly Kane checking in.
Oh, they love Sin City and the Saints. If Gary could hear me out there, I forget what band you're in, Gary, back in when we played in the country days.
Yeah, he'll jump back on.
They got a good band now.
Yeah, yeah. And let's see, what else was I thinking of. Now here we go. Okay, here's where it kicks in.
Like me.
Oh, you know.
What's the name of the band where the guy was an artist, so a real good artist?
The guy that was a real good artist.
Yeah, but he had a different name.
But he had a different name. Oh, you know, man.
He had a stage name and a.
From here?
Warren, I think he was. He used to play all the time with Fred Stock.
Oh, I have to think. Wild Oats, Gary. There
Wild
you go.
Wild Oats, that's it. There it is. With Broken Reins now, yeah.
Yeah.
Wild Oats.
Yeah, I knew he was with Broken Reins now, but
all the love.
Wild Oats, man. I was.
You guys could say you love Freddie too.
Boy, with Gary and. Who is the main guy from Wild Oats?
Bernie.
Yeah.
No, Bernie. Was it Bernie?
I think
Bernie
so.
Was a drummer.
Yeah. Gary. Who all was in Wild Oats? You know, we're having a little bit of a brain fart right here, believe it or not. You know,
it's an age.
We have played a lot of honky tonks and country bars and stuff and jamborees over the years. So the fact that we got this far is pretty good.
Impressive.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some of it. You know, Rick, we were talking about all the places where these guys used to play, like Country Junction and the Hacienda,
Mr. D's, the Parlor,
Grandpa's.
Grandpa's.
Oh my God! Oh, Grandpa's.
What about over there behind that off of Mahoney Avenue, Green Acres? Remember Green Acres?
Oh yeah,
that
yeah.
Way back in?
Yeah, yeah.
Redneck joint.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, you know, we were talking too about Bernie and Jeff Walsh. That's right.
Oh,
that's
Jeff
right.
Walsh. Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah,
Jeff
yeah. Passed away, also. Unfortunately. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But he's another one. He was a honky tonker boy. He liked to get out there and he'd play anywhere, man. You know,
and anything. Yeah. Anywhere and anything.
Yep. Yep. As a matter of fact, the last time I saw him, he was out at Geneva on the Lake, and he was out there playing. Now, see, her brother, who we're having this benefit for on Sunday, Carl, he was in one of Bill Scudero's early bands.
Merry Christmas
back in the day.
Merry Christmas. Blast from the past, huh?
Oh, boy, you're talking about way back.
Way back, yes.
Way, way back.
And so that's how Cindy got started, is that they would let her play some acoustic songs between their breaks and everything. Oh, yeah. Bootleg was the hottest band going, you know, and we just, oh yeah. Okay. Tom was on bass. Okay. All right. There we go.
Yeah. We couldn't, sorry, Gary. We couldn't remember, but then we got City of Saints. I got to talk about them.
Yeah. We want to talk about that. Oh, I thought we were just going to reminisce about the good old days.
I think we both forgot.
Yeah. I'm Cap.
Where else are these people to tell us?
I forgot I was in another band.
Yeah.
I forgot I'm still doing this.
I want to play tomorrow night.
Now, you know what? The last time I did see you, you were playing at the Canfield Fair.
Right, yeah.
But I say hi, or were you guys playing, or we were broadcasting? And then the storm hit. Yeah. I think a storm hit, and then, you know, whatever. But
you did mention us on the radio.
Yeah, so, yeah, man. Yeah. So, yeah, let's talk a little bit about Sin City and the Saints.
Okay.
The
blessing thing about it is when Carl got sick, we asked Don Tanner to play drums. Didn't hesitate because his dad died of esophagus cancer.
Oh, man.
Didn't hesitate. He used to live behind us. He was a little kid, you know. He used to play with my little brother, Rick. And he does original stuff, too. I said, you know, Donnie, could you help us out? And he didn't hesitate. You know, so that was God blessing. It was God, you know, God sent from him.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, we got Pete Daniu. Chester Stout, you know Chester?
Yeah.
From Flashbacks.
Yep.
Vince Richards, real talented guy. My brother, did I forget anybody?
I don't know.
I don't know. Me.
Oh, Cindy Farina's in there.
That other person to sing.
Okay.
You know, with every band that I have been with, I like this band, you know, this.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of love in this band. As much as we bitch, we have a lot of love. You know, which is a good thing.
And now the material you guys are doing, I know you guys do some 60s and stuff like that. Some
Motown and oldies.
Yeah, yeah.
Same stuff that we did.
when they weren't oldies, when they were the newest songs out there.
we're doing a lot of outside things this year. We couldn't do a lot of inside.
Yeah.
Of the COVID stuff and everything, but we had a lot of jobs outside.
Oh, yeah. So you're playing Austintown Park on the 21st?
It's a Tuesday.
Okay. I just saw
it. Halliday's. Have you ever been there?
No.
The winery at Lake Mountain?
No. Yeah, you, that's nice.
Really?
Yeah. They got a real big back, play in the back.
Oh, okay.
We'll be there Saturday.
What's the name of your band now?
Sin City and the Saints.
Okay, Sin City.
So you're playing the winery at Lake Milton this Saturday.
Right. At 6 o'clock, 6 to 9. I love those early jobs.
Yeah, well, everything's an early job now. I don't think I
could do a 10 to 2. If we did 9 to 1, I almost died. I
know.
Sleep is too excessive.
You know, I mean, I think the 10 to 2 days are just about gone. Nowadays, on a Saturday night or a Friday night, after midnight, there's nobody out anymore.
Yeah.
Remember us? We would play.
Oh, God, we wouldn't get until 2 o'clock. We'd get home at 5. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was the grind. Nothing. You'd play until 2 or 2:30, and then you'd have to go dick around with the bar owner who's going to try to beat you down or whatever, you know. And then by the time you got everything packed up, and then if you were going to stop at, Perkins or wherever, Country Kitchen.
Across from Country Kitchen.
That was a favorite on 46.
Everybody just went across 46.
That closed up when everything went to shit and yucks. I'm telling you, we used to go there every time we played. It was a lot. I loved it.
And and then we would have, and then there'd be a line to get in at 2:30 at all these places. So you're waiting to get in. By the time you get served, next thing you know, it's 5 o'clock and you're just finishing up.
And you're going home.
Yeah. Not me. I wasn't going home. Yeah. I was going back on the radio.
I was heading right to work.
Like
going straight to
work. I didn't know that. Really? You'd go right back to work.
Well, later, once we went on CD 106, like at the, at the other ones, then I moved to afternoons. I think they figured out that I would probably be a little bit better.
That's why I asked him. I'm like, what does Freddie come right at 25 after 7? He goes, oh no, he comes here at 7:30. He goes, I started at 7:35.
Everybody knows me. They're all on to me. Yeah. The Iron Skillet. That was another place. Hubcap checking in.
Yeah.
All right. We got, Don checking in. How you doing, Don?
Don's a good guy. Don Hayda. Nice guy.
Well, you got a lot of fans checking in. Good thing I had you on. I should have had you on earlier. This thing might have been a little more popular. I don't know.
Yeah.
Get some viewers for a change.
That's right.
I had the wrong guest on.
You did.
You know, like we had mentioned earlier, chronologically with the bands that I worked with, Cindy should have been on first because she was one of the, very first bands that we started working with at WNIO. You know, that whole crew,
I remember doing the first thing. Me and Kenny came into. It was over on In
Webb Road, not too far from the Country Junction, right around the corner.
Now that place is still there. It's all dilapidated.
Yeah.
Me and Kenny came in and did an interview with you. Yeah. I remember that. That's like the very first, one of the things I can't remember. And I forgot what I was going to say. But bring up something else.
Yeah, we would play, that was back in the day, all our bands. We would play their music on the radio. And you could just come in and sit down and would chit-chat and talk about the band.
I know, we got a real good recording from one time at the Jam on the Ridge. A real good recording.
Yeah.
So it must have been on the radio.
Yeah. Yeah, we would play that on the radio, too, at the time. Yeah.
So it has to be from you.
Yeah. Yeah. And if it was on the radio, I'm sure Gary Z had it mixed just perfectly.
And then back in the day when I started, I think there was just me and Shirley from Biggie Rat, if I'm not mistaken, as female singers. It was tough, because I would always book. I'm still doing it today, booking the band. I'm still doing all that. Hate it, but I still do it. And, a lot of places wouldn't even want to talk to you because you were a female.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or because I didn't wear bikinis. You know what I'm saying? It was a lot.
Yeah, we had negotiations about that. You're lucky you got in and Jam in the Ridge and stuff. That bikini thing was, that was kind of a stickler move there with us,
Yeah. Thanks.
She beat us down and then we just said, okay, well, if that's the way it's going to be, the band is too good to sit here and haggle over whether you're going to wear a bikini.
But it was tough coming up as a female singer.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
It was. And I remember doing an interview with, I forget, WSRD. And I was 25 in that interview, And I wasn't very good doing, I was like, man, people are like, I can't wait to hear them. Like, I don't really do good, I can't remember half the shit for one thing.
Yeah.
But just coming, it was hard. But every musician that I played with has been I learned a lot from every musician I played with. I learned a lot. And that's what brought me up to here. You know what I mean? So, Patty, Biggie Rat, Shirley had a lot more was known a lot more than I was.
Right.
Because I wasn't on that stream of music.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
So,
and they were right there. They were a little bit before you, too. I'm going to say 72, 73, yeah, yeah. Somewhere in there.
That, I'm thinking, yeah, as far as that time, we were the only two female singers in the 70s.
Yeah.
As far as I can remember.
Yeah, and then, you know, then Holly Burnett came out.
Holly came out.
And then there was a few other ones, but, you know, especially like in our circle. Oh, who was that? Ellen Shane. Remember Ellen Shane in Cripple Creek?
Yes.
He used to play?
Yes.
Ellen Shane.
He was an artist, too, but he had a different name.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's who you're thinking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, and his singer was Ruthie McGill, because I would always remember he would introduce the lovely and beautiful Ruthie McGill.
I don't remember her.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I think we were the only two. But I know in the working with Holly, because she would be on the same thing that we'd be on.
Yeah.
There was Holly. Who else was there? I can't think as far as female singers. Then Holly came up with that paper.
Yeah. Yeah. Speed of Sound.
Speed of Sound.
And she came out with that. That was like the first rock and roll paper to get going.
Have you heard from her?
No, I haven't seen her like on Facebook or anything.
Yeah.
What was their band? Something River? Was it Something River?
Grand River.
Grand River. Yeah. And the guy that used to own the music shop was in that. Saunders.
Yeah, Saunders.
I can't think of his first name.
I can't think of his first name either.
Yeah, yeah.
But he passed away also.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was a fun band. Just think about these jamborees, though, all the talent that we would have there. All these bands.
This area has the talent that, people come and see bands here, and they're like, man, we don't have that where we live.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's true. There's a lot of talented musicians here.
It always has been. Always has been.
It has been.
You know, and I was just thinking, too, like back in the day, I saw a couple of posts on Facebook about different things. Some of the older guys, you know, were talking about, you know, when they were playing at Geneva on the Lake back in the day, like the 60s going into the 70s.
Right.
The Youngstown bands owned Geneva, like Bill Scudder and whatever band he was in at that time. And man, so many of these bands from around here just owned Geneva on the Lake
we can't even get in there now.
Yeah.
You know? I don't even try anymore.
and there's 20 bars up there, you know?
I know.
There's 20 bars up there.
We'd go over great. But
oh, you know, you would be. You yeah. guys on some of them places on a Sunday afternoon with your mix at that old Firehouse Winery or something with you belting out them 60s songs and everything, it would be a natural.
What do you call them, book us?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I got a lot of pool too, you know. For all the money I spend up there, somebody should hear me out.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Right. You got that right.
But yeah, it would be great to see you guys up there. You would be perfect for a Sunday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, Geneva on the Lake, one of those wineries, one of those little brew houses or something. Oh, you guys with your sound.
I think so, but
I can just picture you guys playing there.
I don't know if it's politics or what to get in. I don't know what
it is. You know, I think some of them places, they've had their bands and they just get them. And some of these people don't even want to mess around with booking anybody, you know. Okay, we're booking. May 1st, we're booking them all and that's it. What dates did you play last year? Save them for me. And there you go. I think it's probably more along those lines where, you know, it's just like, these are our guys. We're going to have them. And that's one less thing we got to worry about.
You know, we get all our bookings and then, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we're pretty good for the year.
Yeah.
This is the first year that we have not been booked every weekend. The first year we've been together for 10 years, 10 uh-huh. or 11 years.
Yeah.
It's the first time out of all that time that we haven't been, you know.
And you know what?
It's okay.
Yeah. You know. But you know what? We're coming off of last year and the COVID and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm sure once a couple people see you out there here and there, it's going to be like, here we go. We're off and running.
Yeah.
We're off and running.
We like to do it outdoor. You know, not only that, but they're only an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Playing an hour and a half. That's it. Yeah. The shorter, the better.
Yeah.
But I love what I do. But I'm getting tired. Freddie, like I said, I'm getting tired, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know.
But how much fun did you have?
Oh God!
You know, I mean, us. How much fun did we have that? You know,
it was my life.
I mean, think of what you did for a living since high school.
I did.
You know, it's just like
I had a few jobs here and there. You know, but we played all the time. Like I said, five, six nights a week.
Yeah, yeah. And that to me is why I like to have people like you on, and you have Bill Skidair and some of the seasoned performers, as we're calling them now. Right. Some of the seasoned performers. I just like to have you guys on, because it was so cool that you had a chance to just do this for a living.
Yeah.
And I think it might be really tough today for people to be in a local band and make a living out of it.
Right.
It's probably almost impossible at this time. When we look back on the, six nights a week, and every bar had a band,
it was happening.
You could go out on a Tuesday night and there'd be 5-6 bands at different bars, and there would be people in there until 2 in the morning.
Junction was like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Always. Like yeah. I know. I've been there when it closed down and a little longer afterwards. But
we still talk to Karen. You remember Karen?
Yeah. Right? Oh yeah. Yeah. I ran into her somewhere. I can't remember
Sweet person.
Oh yeah. And that was such a fun place, man. When they said they were going to close that down and build Bob Evans, I was bummed.
Yeah.
That was our...
We were too. I think it's a ramp. We wanted to play there. We're still playing.
Now it's a ramp.
You're now an exit ramp, you know, and then because that used to be right by the station, and we'd be right there, and it was just...
Oh, yeah, it was right by the station. Yeah,
it was just a perfect hangout for us. And I have a lot of respect for people that do that. And there's a lot of guys that are out there still doing that. And, when you take it even one step before, when you got into that 60s, late 60s, early 70s, I mean, some of them bands were just raking in money. Guys were driving around in new cars and stuff. And their parents were kind of like, what the hell are you doing?
Now,
your parents were always supportive of your music,
always,
I would take.
Always. We were there. Always were your practice place in the cellar.
Uh-huh.
That's where in the garage. In the
garage. The neighbors.
They were very supportive. I got to say that.
Yeah, because, I talked to some people. It's a mixed bag. Some people were lucky enough that their parents were musicians and saw it and understood.
My dad played harmonica in the garage drinking beer. That's how me and my brother got our talent.
but then there were other parents like, cut your hair. Why are you wasting your time? What the hell are you doing here?
My brother's hair back then was... It was like that in the 70s, and it was like my parents put up with it. I remember him coming home, drinking down at the park in the back, or not the park, the woods.
It was back there. The Nutcracker.
And, my mom gets so mad and wooden spoon still, I never got hit though. I was pretty cool. I never got hit.
You go.
I don't think I did.
Yeah. So you went to Cheney. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So West Side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going back to the days of 3-2 beer and fake IDs.
3-2 beer and hand stamps.
Hand stamps. Yeah, all the good
fake IDs.
Good
stuff.
See, that made a difference back then too, because you could get into a bar at 18. And remember, for that short period of time, everything was the legal age was 18. But, that also helped bands back in the day, say 74, 75. First of all, with the 3-2 beer, you could go out.
Right.
And then if you had a fake ID, you're 16 and you're getting in. But then you had so many people that were out there and young and had a couple bucks, and they could go here, they could go there, they could go to the playground, all these different places, 5 million different places you had back then, and just go there and see some bands. And a lot of those places had like nickel beer night bring in the biggest mug you can find all night long.
God, now that you bring that stuff up, my God, it was wild.
Yeah. Now, what were some of the Cheney hangouts back in the day?
She may know, but I was playing. So I really didn't hang around with a whole bunch of people because I was playing.
Yeah, when I interview a lot of musicians, I will ask them. I'll say, "Well, what about this or what about that?" And that's usually the answer you get. Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights, man, we were out. We were working. I didn't have a chance to really get out there.
Exactly.
You were hanging out, but you were working. So.
Although I met, Facebook, meet a lot of people we haven't met in a long time.
Yeah.
Haven't seen in a long time. It was nice.
Hey, Brian Boyle's checking in. Hi, Brian. Good to hear from you. Getting back to that. Now, how about, did you get a chance to go to a lot of concerts, or were your concerts also limited because of working?
Yeah. I used to go see James Taylor a lot and Joni Mitchell. But I think my first rock one was Led Zeppelin.
Really?
Only because the squirrel liked my brother. Uh-huh. And so she wanted to get close to him. So she bought me a ticket to go to Led Zeppelin. It was a great concert, though.
Oh, where was that? At Richfield Coliseum?
Yes.
Or? Oh, yeah. That had to be awesome. That's it one was, band I always wanted to see, Led Zeppelin.
Very good. Man. Oh, that's Although he did have a sore throat and was drinking tea.
Uh-huh.
I imagine with that, you know, that voice you would, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So how about you? Do you have any little tricks for a voice?
I try not to talk. Uh-huh. Actually, you know, this is for me talking for the last couple of days, collecting baskets, talking to people, because I really just keep to myself. I keep to myself.
Because you belt them out, man. You got a powerful voice. I mean, you really belt out those songs.
Thank you.
That's great. Well, listen, we're going to wrap things up and turn it over to the fisherman part of this. But Becky, Cindy, thanks for stopping by. And, you know, you're always welcome. And I'd love to have you back. Yeah. You know, if you want to bring some friends along next time and, you know,
we'll... I could bring like have a party.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I may bring back some old. So we can talk about old days.
Yeah, you know, bring a few old bandmates back. I sure will. And hopefully Carl will be well soon. And
remember that benefit.
We could get him back. And one of the main reasons you're here, first of all, because I want to hang with you. And I haven't seen you in a long time. And I want to sit here and share some of our old stories. But the most important thing that we're focusing on right now is your brother, Carl. And we have that big benefit. It's coming up this Sunday at Westside Bowl, Mahoning Avenue. Mm-hmm. In Youngstown, great place. Noon to six. We got the pizza buffet. We've got 50
t-shirts. We're selling t-shirts, bands,
70 basket
raffle
so far. Yeah,
and then the band lineup. I know Sonny is going to be there.
Sonny, March, Sideshow canceled.
So
there's Mark Schering and Finding Sparky. Sonny Needs Money. My
Abe Diamond.
My great nephew is also going to be playing with Sonny. He plays drums.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
Giovanni, yeah. Yep. And then he's going to do a song with us. And then Chester's band, Abe Diamond.
Yeah.
And then we're going to end the
show. Oh, it's going to be a great time. Yeah. And for a great cause and for a great guy. Thanks. And, you know, just give Carl our best. We're all pulling for him and praying for him. And everybody, if you could just come out for an hour or so on Sunday, just stop in, throw a couple bucks in the jar would be great.
Please.
And just show a little love.
Hope to see a lot of musicians and a lot of people from Cheney.
And you know what? It's going to be like I've been talking to a lot of people, and it's going to be a huge reunion for the West Side, a huge class reunion, and people are just into it. The people that have gotten a hold of me and helped me spread the word is just amazing. It's just blossomed. It's webbed, and it's all for Carl. And that's why I'm sitting here. I danced all those years.
Yep. She runs circles. I'm telling you, man, I'm old, bitch. She's going, picking up all the basket, this, that. I can't do it.
You got to run
Freddie,
it.
Freddie, thank you so, so much.
Oh, no, thank you guys. You. Yep, and, same here.
I will talk to you soon. Welcome back.
Oh, yeah. Mary Ellen is saying hi.
Mary Ellen Green.
There's a place she was talking about. 25-cent draft beer at T-Mar.
T-Mar, yes.
On Meridian
Casa
Road.
Casa Loma. Yeah. All those. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, and Beverly Kane, thanks for the nice thoughts as well. And we just want to thank you guys and everybody. Come on out this Sunday and let's really show some love for Carl.
Some love for Carl. It's all about Carl.
And that's the main reason you're here, but not the main reason well. But it's been great talking to you.
It's been great talking to you. It's
Cindy, I'm going to get out there. I'm going to see you somewhere, whether at the fair or at the park or something. You know, our
West Side Bowl on Sunday.
West Side Bowl on Sunday, yes.
Our schedule is just the same thing. You know, you're busy.
Well, that's the same thing with you over all the years. I'm sure that, you know, you've had a lot of friends and bands and stuff. You never got a chance to see them because you're working there. They're working there. You're over there. And then maybe sometimes you get a benefit or something. You get a chance to get together.
And that's exactly
about it.
And that's what's going to happen Sunday.
Well, it's going to be a great time. Ladies, thanks for stopping by.
I love you, Fred.
Oh, I love you too, Cindy. So thanks for coming.
Take care.
All right, we're going to turn it over now to our next guest here.
But I fish too.
Yeah, Cindy, we got to get Cindy out there.
It's so nice seeing you.
So nice seeing you. You look familiar.
I remember you. I knew you as soon as I walked in.
I saw you looking in here.
Hi, Jack. You ready to jump in? Yeah. All right, man. You can grab one of those seats. Becky, thank you. All right, we'll see you Sunday. Cindy, it is so great to have you stop by, man.
Oh, great. So many great memories.
I'm sweating.
I love you, man. Hey, Sydney, though, has some old. Oh, I told you about the old videos from Jamboree in the Ridge.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, boy.
Okay, I'll do more of them. I got them.
I'm
just got
you for a few seconds and let you off.
Oh, okay. Good to see you. Hey, this is our parking lot guy extraordinaire, Ron. I know Ron. All right. Ron's a good guy, and we always sit and chat about everything from music to the Browns to, you know what? We'll have to get you in one day as a guest. We'll just have to have you jump in.
Okay.
Are you a fisherman? Do you fish?
No.
Oh, okay. Then you don't want to hear what these guys have to say. Oh, it doesn't matter. We just babble on here. It's no different than talking out front.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just letting you know I'm locking up all the stuff. So
all right.
You can get out and came in.
Sounds good.
Okay.
We're stuck here. All right, brother. I'll see you next week.
Okay.
That's our parking lot guy, Ron, from down here. Good guy. Good guy. You know, a lot of people think you can't be on this. All you do is you just sit here and just, blah, 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 you know, just let it rip. All right. Boy, I'll tell you, it was good to see Cindy. And I'm sure she brought back a lot of great memories from a lot of our WNIO days, man.
Oh boy.
How tough was Bootleg? How good was that band? I mean, you would have them there and Bill Skidair and Mike Sayers and some of the other guys. And boy, we had some top bands back there and we would just blow it out.
Yeah.
Whew. She reminded me of the old days too, going to see Left End.
Left End.
Left End. And the Tomorrow Club. The apartment.
You know what? You have just fit in perfectly with what we're doing. We have to give you the sound effect because there are certain things that every episode on our podcast that we have to mention. And you mentioned the Tomorrow Club. You mentioned Left End. We usually mention Michael Stanley, Idora Park, and Boots Bell. If we mention all five of those in the show, then we got it all covered.
I was at the trifecta.
Yeah, you did. Didn't even know it. Yeah, see, that's why we. Yeah. Boy, how good was Left End though?
Oh, I loved it.
Left End was a heck of a band.
It's Friday night, Saturday night. Wherever they were, we were.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, what a
they had a big following. Probably the biggest following in any band.
Yeah, I would say of our Youngstown area.
Yeah,
they did have the biggest following.
They had the biggest
Cyclone Rider.
Oh,
Sunshine Girl. Oh my gosh, all those great old classes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of the days.
Dennis D. Menace and Hot Day at Idora Park.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's another one we always mention. Idora Park and Hot Day. Boy, you know, we really were lucky and fortunate enough to be around at the right time because you're never going to see this again.
Well, you know, and those guys, they opened for like Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh, yeah, a lot of bands.
And I think they opened once for a number of bands.
Well, they played with the Eagles at Idora Park. And, you know, and no matter what the bands were at Idora Park, they usually had the biggest crowd to see them. Yeah. I mean, you could have, remember back in the day, they would have the teeny bopper bands in there. They would have Bobby Sherman or David Cassidy or whoever was the DeFranco family. And they would play for all the teeny boppers. And then out on the Midway.
Yeah.
That's where those guys would be, and you would just it would just be packed, man.
You know, rock and roll back then, rap, you know, like you said, you had tons and tons of bars that had bands every night. You know, that's like Cornell dragging me down to that little bar in Youngstown when I went down and seen the guitar player.
Tommy Castro probably, or Joe Bonamassa at the Cellar.
He comes to me at the radio station and says, listen, I got this guy coming in that's a heck of a blues guitarist, and he's going to be playing. What was that bar down there?
Yeah, the Cellar.
The Cellar.
Yeah.
And he says, would you and Judy come down because I want to get some people there. So her and I went down there that night, and that was the first time I met Joe Bonamassa.
And now he's like the biggest guy out there as far as the blues goes.
He's something else.
You know, he went from playing the Cellar to big halls now.
Well, I sat there and talked to him like I'm talking to you, you know, very nice, down-to-earth guy and everything. And now I watch him on TV and he's playing at that London.
Yeah. The Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah. Albert Hall. This guy's lighting it up now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's got a big band orchestra and got it all put together.
He's up there.
And you sit there and you think, geez, I sat and talked to that guy when he was, a number of times. Every time he come to the area.
And you know, him and Cornell would go to different schools.
They're like this to this day.
They would go to different schools to talk the music classes about the blues and stuff like that. And, you know, who does that kind of stuff?
And Cornell talk to each other two or three times a week about something. You know, they're friends.
Yeah.
They're buddies.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy. So how about you, Jack? What were some of your early concerts? Or I'll have another one. You guys want an espresso?
I'm good.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Good. I'm sure good.
You want a custom one?
You should have one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have a custom.
Okay, yeah, Jack will have one. Hey, I didn't even introduce my guest yet. We just had this little change. People are probably going, what the hell happened there? Where did where do we go? Is Cindy just up and left and these other guys are there and they're talking about Left End? That's all we know. That's all they talk about on that podcast. I Thor Park and Left End. No, with me is my friend Jack Waltz, fisherman extraordinaire, author, writer and columnist, and also with us is Ricky Henniger from Fish and Field Report, editor of Fish and Field Report. And the reason we're here in a little bit, we're going to be talking fishing. We got the big United Way Bass Classic coming up this weekend, which is always a great event. And you might even pick up a couple of tips here from both of these guys on fishing. And we'll swap some stories about that. But since we're on the rock and roll, so what were some of the early concerts that you went to, Jack?
I loved going over to Idora. And I think I remember Charlie Daniels, seeing him play there, Grand Funk Railroad. I mean, there was a lot of classic bands came through Youngstown, you know, down at the Tomorrow Club. I mean, the bands that like Aerosmith all those bands came through this area and played. And what a fabulous scene that was in the 70s.
Oh yeah, man.
Unbelievable.
Great shows.
When you look at the list of people that played at the Tomorrow Club, like Kiss and Journey and Bob Seger and Alice Cooper and Judas Priest, and the list just went on and on. And the one thing we always talk about is how whoever was booking those shows or whatever, they just kind of had this knack, and maybe it was the band's management or whatever, but the Police played there, AC/DC played there.
It's unbelievable we've had in the Valley.
It would just seem like you would see these bands and a year later, they were the biggest bands in the world. Yeah. Saw Journey there, and the next thing you know, they're headlining Cleveland Stadium in like a year. You know, you seen them there, and then maybe a couple months later, they were on that Don Kirshner's rock concert or something.
Right.
And then you'd see them on there and you'd say, oh, I saw those guys. And boom, the next thing you know, they're still going.
I went to the Crawford County Fairground and seen George Jones. And guess who opened up for him?
The guy. Waylon Jennings.
No, it became a big star within a year or two out of that. Now my mind just went.
That's the thing we have.
The guy that flies to the ear in the country caught you with the cowboy hat.
Holy shit! Dude,
my mind's back. Terrible. It's just
okay.
Here and
all right, it was George Jones, and you got the guy.
Hank Williams.
Hank Jr.
It was the guy that.
What's he do?
Well, he's had them big concerts. He sings about the wedding where he went into and busted up.
Oh, Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks.
Yeah, Friends in Low Places.
He opened up for George Jones, and he wasn't very well heard of then, you know what I mean? And then a year later, 2 years later, this guy here is selling out stadiums.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How about Johnny Winter?
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Winter's played a show at Boardman High School. I saw Ike and Tina Turner at Struthers Fieldhouse. I mean, Deep Purple.
Yes.
Struthers Fieldhouse. I mean, what great shows.
Struthers Fieldhouse has a history. Somebody should do, I was even thinking like a little history of Struthers Fieldhouse of all the bands and shows that have played there.
Ike and Tina Turner.
Ellis Cooper played there. James Brown played there several times.
And then if you go up into Trumbull County, you had the Packard Music Hall.
Oh yeah,
which was a country, more or less a country, used to MC all.
Oh, right.
We had all the best there was, the best.
Oh, yeah, George Jones. Remember George Jones did a no show on us the one time, and then that's when they were calling him No Show Jones.
I mean, you had all the big stars there. Did what's his name? What was the guy's name that ran that? His dad was the really good
Brent Mager.
Brent Mager, but his dad was the one that really.
Even the Canfield Fair.
Oh, yeah.
Great shows over the years at the Canfield Fair. year.
Well, this year's going to be a good one. John Fogerty.
Yeah.
That's going to be a really good show. I think
put
that's
me in, Coach.
Yeah, that's going to be one of the best shows that they've had. Now, so you know, I'm sure you went to Richfield Coliseum and the Civic Arena in Pittsburgh and all those other places back in the day.
We saw classic shows.
Yeah. So what were some of your hangouts when you were in high school and stuff? Where were some of your hangouts?
We liked to go over on Midlothian near the apartment.
Yeah.
The apartment was popular. Gabriel's, of course, the playground.
Yeah.
All over.
Yeah, all the usual hot spots. Yeah.
Wedgwood.
Yeah. Well, I sound like a broken record on this one. These are two of my go-to stories because of, because I'm from the South Side there. And, you know, that whole little corner of Midlothian used to be our whole world. You know, you had, the apartment was for people that were just a little older than me. And then we had the roller arcade. And you had Arena Lanes, and then you had the Game Bar and Arcade and McDonald's, and then Shady Run Pool. I mean, that little corner of the world was like our whole world. You know, our whole world revolved around that corner of Zediker and Midlothian there. And
you're saying I'm a little older than you because I went.
Well, just a little bit. You know, we're close, But at that point in time, the difference between 12 and 16 was, huge. Now it doesn't that doesn't even matter anymore.
I remember getting an ID so you could get into some of these places. I was 18, but some of the places, you had to be 21 to get into. You know what I mean? That was never an issue.
No,
for anybody.
And you know what else too? It was like there was so much more freedom back then. You know, the cops weren't on your ass, and DUIs nowadays ruin your life. A DUI today could ruin your life. Back then, if the cops caught you with beer in the car or something, it'd be like, okay,
the world
dump the beer out, get home, and if we see you somewhere, we're going to
the whole world was different when we were growing up. I was 12 years old, and I remember going over and staying at Dominic's house overnight. And we'd get up in the morning and we'd go catch the bus there at McKinley Heights. And we'd go downtown Youngstown to do our Christmas shopping. We're 12 years old.
Yeah.
Get the bus. We only had a couple bucks. We'd get on there, buy our mother something. And we'd spend all day. The highlight was going down and getting a hot dog down there.
At Jay's at the corner.
Well, right downtown Youngstown.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was no mall or nothing, man. You know what I mean? There was Strauss's and McKelvey's and Monkey Ward's, and all of them were in Youngstown.
Yeah.
And we went there and we'd stay, and my mother says, you make sure you're on that 5 o'clock bus, and we'd come back. You wouldn't let a kid do that today.
I wrote
15 years old.
I wrote a big post on my Facebook page about that shooting that just took place at Homestead Park, and I kind of talked about that whole thing. Homestead Park, we used to live there. We used to live there, and to think today that you couldn't let your kid go down there because somebody could get killed, to me, it's insane. To me, it is just so crazy.
Well, things have changed so much. We were allowed to do things at
9 o'clock
at an earlier age then because there wasn't all this craziness going on.
Let's segue into fishing right here. Because got to get the fishing. Well, to me, it doesn't matter. As long as we're sitting here having a good conversation, that's all that matters to me. But let's talk about fishing in the same thing. You know, when I grew up, I lived right on, Poland Avenue, right in the Poland Avenue area there, right by the mill gate and stuff. And some of my earliest, fishing things was me and my friends would get on our bikes and go pedal our bikes all the way to Newport Lake and hit one end of Mill Creek Park to the other all day.
Yeah.
And then we'd come home at 5 o'clock at night and we'd leave at 9 o'clock in the morning, ride our bikes. Now you see some of those neighborhoods are so dangerous. You go all the way up Indianola, we'd go straight up Indianola all the way to Canfield Road, down Canfield Road. Now you see it's so dangerous around there. You could never
We'd
be on our bicycles with fishing poles and
we'd grab our fishing poles and everything like that. And we'd take off. We all had bikes and I can't remember how old we were, but we weren't very old. And I lived in Niles, which was exactly 11 miles from Mosquito Lake. There was no Route 11 or nothing then. It was all 46.
Yeah.
And we'd get on our bikes and go out there and spend the whole day in Mosquito Lake and then pedal our bikes back.
And your parents wouldn't worry? Your parents didn't care?
There was no cell phones. There was nothing.
No.
You know, it was just go just and you'd get back.
Right. It makes me sad to think that some kids today will never experience that freedom and just that.
Yeah.
That carefree, and then, do what you want, you know, and we're do all freedom.
Western Reserve Lake, which you fished.
Yeah.
Well, back then when I was a kid in Niles, Western Reserve Lake was owned by Western Reserve Fish and Game, which was the hunting and fishing club there in Niles. It cost you $1 a year to be a member, and then you could go fish Western Reserve Lake, you know. It was just a different world. And
how about you, Jack? What were some of your go-to lakes as a kid?
Oh, well, we lived over off Walker Mill Road in Boardman.
Okay.
And, you know, our big thing was going down to Yellow Creek and fishing for chubs and suckers.
Yeah.
And what a great time. I mean, we grew up and you learned how to read the current seams. You learned how to work your bait and get it so it would drift just right so you could tease a chub into hitting. And it was a blast. The cool thing is, though, you know, we're talking about the old days. A lot of times here in our time right now, these are the good old days of fishing.
Just the best it's ever been.
The walleye fishing is better than it ever has been. The crappie fishing is better than it's
exactly.
The bass fishing is better than it's ever been. You know, lakes like, you know, Mosquito, they have up and down with the walleye, but with the vegetation there, it's going to keep getting better and better. The crappies, Rick, you know, the crappies are
our fishing today. I used to go fishing with my dad and we'd go to Mosquito Lake and there was more often than not, we'd come home with nothing. Fish populations today are just unbelievable. Like he said, unbelievable.
My column in this Sunday's paper is about a fellow from Vienna who used to go fishing. It was almost like a sentence for him. His dad would say, we're going fishing. Well, he and his brothers knew they were going to go to Pimentuning. They weren't coming home until they
filled they caught something. Yeah.
He said, it might be 3 days.
Yes. He said,
fish, fish, fish. We would sleep for an hour and then push the boat back off and go fish. He said, it was an endurance thing. Well, now you go to Pimentuning, you're going to get your limit of walleye.
You're going to catch your fish. You're going to catch them.
Boatload of crappies.
Yes,
right?
You are. Yeah. Yes, you are.
So, I mean, that's
and the bluegills on the beds right now.
There you go.
Big bluegills. And I love to go catch them on light tackle, and it's a lot of action. And I'll bring 20 home. You know how it is. You've been with me, Fred.
Right.
I'll bring 20. I won't bring 200, which I could.
Yeah.
I'll bring 20 home and flay them up and cook them.
Right.
But the fishing today, it's just unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, you talk about Lake Erie. You know, they talk about walleyes. Everybody talks about walleyes. But that's probably some of the best smallmouth bass fishing in the world.
You know what? That is my main thing. Smallmouth bass fishing Lake Erie. If I have one thing that is my favorite thing to do, that is it.
How about when you set that hook? And you don't know if you've snagged the bottom.
That's right.
Or if it's a runaway submarine. Or whatever, and next thing you know, line's coming up, and that thing's tail dancing on the surface,
you know,
and then it's back down.
And you know this, Fred, I'm not a bass fisherman like these guys are and everything, but I do bass fish every year, and guess what it's for? I go to Lake Erie with somebody, and we catch smallmouth, and I mean, and there's so many of them, you don't have to be a good fisherman to catch them on some days. I mean, they hit. You know, especially if they're hitting a top water bait or something like you throw it in and whack, you know.
And you know what I like about that? I like to catch a fish. You know, to me, sometimes just trolling for walleyes, you know, and reeling in for. I like to sit there and get that right movement.
See, I don't like
get
trolling.
That right bait and setting the hook and, you know, the whole fight. I mean,
you get plenty of that at Evans Lake.
Oh, I hope so.
And you're going to get it on Pine Lake. These guys are fishing in the United Way Bass Classic.
Now, let's talk a little bit about that.
You know what? I got to say something about the United Way Bass Clan.
Okay.
I would be willing to bet anything that there's no benefit tournament in the state of Ohio that raises the money they do. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable. One, I want to take my hat off to Jack that coordinates this thing. This isn't easy to do. This is a 365-day-a-year job for him to coordinate this. But the money they raise, the Bass Fishermen raised is just unbelievable. How much money did they raise last year?
Well, this year we will surpass $600,000 that we've raised in, you know, since we started in the year 2000. So
unbelievable.
That goes to pretty essential services. You know, the reason, you know, that the money is needed is obvious here in Youngstown. You know, economic situation is such that a lot of families have real serious needs. And United Way supports the agencies that help provide the services that help keep these families together, keep the kids engaged in school, and a lot of other things. And our title sponsor, Ed Moransky, you know, he's so involved with the the Mill Creek Children's Center there. And, you know, when we used to have a kids event, he would charter a bus to bring the kids from you know, uptown to come and fish at Evans Lake. I mean, it's just fabulous. So, you know, we've helped a lot of kids, I think, get a foundation for fishing. But more than anything, it's been we've been proud that fishermen could step up and be part of providing services for the community.
And besides that,
and it's a well-run tournament. It's organized. But the bass fishermen, they go there. Sure, they all want to win. But they're there to have fun in this tournament. They're there to have a good time.
Absolutely. And you know, with the fishing the way it is, Aqua Ohio, the water utility company, mm-hmm. very generously provides us access. You know, the lakes are closed. They sell water. That's their business. They don't have to do anything to provide access to fishermen, but they graciously do for this event because it helps the community. And the fishing is fabulous.
It's fantastic because you can't fish there other than this tournament, other than the people that live around the lake, you know.
To win the tournament, we have two divisions, as you know. You'll be on Pine Lake. You'll be on Evans Lake. You won't be fishing against each other, but you'll be fishing against the people who are on your particular lake. And I'm going to guarantee you right now that it's going to take over 20 pounds on either lake, whether it's on Evans, whether it's on Pine. And that's five fish. That means we're averaging over 4 pounds per bass that's being weighed in.
That's right. There's no tournament like that in the state.
Those are stout fish. Yeah, I mean,
maybe Lake Erie with the smallmouth are on.
Maybe Lake Erie.
If they're on.
Mosquito in the early spring, maybe Portage Lakes. But in June?
Yeah.
In June, to average 4 pounds, if you know anything about bass fishing, you know, by June, the bass are kind of, they're getting a little weird. They want to be back out in deep water. Well, we're going to intercept them, and it's going to be a fish fest for sure.
And that's what everybody says. You know, everybody's a good fisherman in May. Everybody can catch them in May.
Yeah, everybody catch them May and June. You know? Yeah.
And then you start heading into June now. Now it takes it to a different level. But also the skill level of the people that we have in this tournament too is really up there. I mean,
we've got a lot of pros.
And tell us a little bit about even some of the people that have fished over the years and who we got coming in this year.
Well, this year our headliner is Destin Demarian.
Yeah,
from Western Pennsylvania.
Very good kid.
He fished the Elite Series, the Bassmaster Elite Series. And, you know, to be able to even qualify to compete means you're one of the top 100 bass anglers in the whole country. And so he's fishing. He's drawn a young fellow, Freddie, who you know is his
partner. Tyler. Well, him and
Tyler Woke.
You know,
my son.
Where was I at when I met Justin? I was
right here.
Was it here?
Yeah.
You know, and I knew who he was by name. But I'd never seen him. I'm coming in here talking to this guy. I don't know who he is. And Tyler tells me who he is.
Well, he's a great guy. I mean, to take time out of his professional schedule to come and fish in our event. All the pros, it's a pro-am tournament, basically. Yeah. All the pros are very, very experienced fishermen. Some of them fish the Bassmaster Open Series. All of them fish various club-level events on a regional basis here. They fish from the Ohio River to Lake Erie to Chautauqua, fish all over. A lot of experience out there. And so, they're bringing their boats and they're providing tips and tackle for their amateur partners. And it's a great pro-am event. And we're just thrilled to have them. It's a team event. So you guys will be fishing to help your pro partners.
Yeah.
So that's a great opportunity too. And you'll be able to pick up tips. You're fishing with Joe Walters
right.
from Autumn Addiction up in Portland.
Yeah, Joe's a good fisherman.
And you're fishing with Mike Glendening.
Yep. Mike Glendening. Oh, Mike's a good fisherman.
Tournament angler.
I've known Mike for 30 years.
Yep. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of experience showing on Saturday up at those lakes.
And that's what I would like to say too. If you want to improve your bass game, you know, maybe you're just getting into it or whatever, this is a good tournament to get into because you're going to learn some tips. I'll tell you, I can't tell you how much I have learned from being in this year after year and fishing with guys like Nick Provonischak and, you know, all the different guys, Brad Wall. Remember Brad Wall was the Bass Pro for Hooters. Talk about that gig. If that was your job? Brad, you're the Hooters Bass Pro. We won it 1 year too.
Absolutely. You were the champ.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember when you won it. Yeah.
And you know what was crazy about that? We'll tie in a little rock and roll on here too. We were out there and we're fishing and I needed a fish and Freebird was playing on the radio and we're jamming the Freebird and Freebird's playing and I'm going, if this is not some kind of omen, this is it. I'm going to get a fish on this song. Something tells me this is the song. It's Freebird for crying out loud. Mystical powers of Freebird. So Freebird's playing. And what do you know? Just at the last note, boom, I nailed like a 3.5 pound or something on the very last note of Freebird. And I think that put us over the top. And then it was a few days later, I was on YouTube and I come across a video and it was Ronnie Van Zant from Skynyrd fishing, talking about how he wrote Freebird. And it was just like, whoa, this is like some kind of mystical power of Freebird. But, you know, that's the thing. If you really want to learn more about bass fishing, this is the place, you know, it's amazing what you'll pick up along the way from these guys.
Well, you learn something about fishing. Even if you know, I'm not a tournament bass fisherman. I'm a crappie fisherman. You know that. Most of you guys know that. And a walleye fisherman. The only reason I catch a lot of walleyes is because we have Lake Erie.
That's right.
You know
that's
what
a
I mean?
Good thing.
And
that's a very good thing.
And you know, you meet people from all over the country. And when we were doing them concerts, you know, I never forget most of them guys that come. You know, when ZZ Top was there. I had Jeff take him, remember, to the flea market. Jeff didn't want to do it. I said, you got to take ZZ Top to the flea market there. I don't know them. I said, ain't nobody knows them. They want to go to the flea market, get the van, take them down there. Well, when Jeff comes
right in.
Some mountain man from Rogers or whatever.
Know, they went to the flea market. It didn't take them long enough when they were in there. You know what I mean? But Jeff said, you know what? They're some of the nicest guys in the world. And guess what, Ricky? They like to fish. I said, they're from Texas. They fish. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Jaybird says, I got to quit nodding my head. It looks like I'm a bobblehead. Well, you know, I've been just sitting here going along with the conversation, you know.
That's right.
I'm usually on the radio, so this stuff here don't matter to me, you know.
You know, you're talking about this tournament coming up this weekend. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to take up a seat, and I'm going to try hard to catch a fish or two. But I'm, you know, what is nice is the camaraderie that you have. I'm going to know a lot of people there, and we're going to have a lot of fun. And that's the name of the game. We're going to kid each other and ride each other. Tyler, I'm going to torture Tyler the whole time. And that's what makes it really fun.
Well, I think Rick, you and Fred need to have a side bet.
Yeah, we got to have a side bet.
Who's going to catch the biggest fish between the two of you? Now, it'll be a largemouth.
Yeah.
We're not going to count
northern
pike because you could catch it.
We just want to
count
northern pike.
But, and you, there's no pike on Pine Lake. You're on Pine
Lake. I'll bet you dinner.
All right.
We'll go to dinner.
Okay.
We'll go to dinner.
All right.
I win. I'll pick a place. You win. You pick a place. We'll go to dinner. We'll get him and
we'll bring Ty along.
And Ty too.
Yeah.
And whoever, you know what I mean? We'll go to dinner. And I'll buy your dinner if I lose.
Okay.
You buy mine.
Now the pressure's on.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do everything.
I'll tell you, when we're talking about this tournament, too, we have had a lot of different celebrities fishing this. We had Joe Thomas from the Browns.
John Greco was there 1 year.
Yeah.
We had Daniel Sepulveda, the Pittsburgh Steelers punter.
I'm glad you said that because I could never pronounce his
name. he punted for Baylor, and then the Steelers signed him. And
well, you got Ed Moransky's names on this thing. And Ed is a high-class, well-known person outside of the hospital. He's, you know, he's one of the best football players that ever come out of this area.
And he has a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
With the Raiders.
And you know what's crazy about this stuff? When you got guys like, you know, Nick and Destin and these guys, they got a target on their back. When these guys come out to these things, you know, for a lot of these guys, boy, if you're in a tournament and that guy's in there and you win, that's some bragging.
Well, let me tell you what makes this tournament nice. The fishery is so good there. You know, the fishery is so good there. They don't like it when it's that good. They want it to be a little bit tough to where their expertise plays a part in it.
Yeah, where anybody can
this tournament, anybody could tag out. I mean, if you got lucky and caught a couple big fish and just regular. So, you know, that makes it interesting.
Well, we do have a high caliber level of fishermen in this valley. So, you know, like the musicians we were talking about, the rock bands. I mean, we have some really, really super talented bass fishermen here in the Youngstown, Warren area.
So,
they're out there, they're going to win. Like you say, I mean.
You got Nick Pravanovich and them guys. Them guys, I remember when they were kids, they were good when they were like Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Tyler is good. He was good coming right out of the gate, young kid, you know what I mean? And that Nick Pravanovich and them guys were all like that. You know, they were all good right off the bat.
And then, you know, you got Sammy Capelli, National Walleye Champion.
Sammy's one of my best friends.
Classic a couple times. Yeah. Do you remember when Brent Diesel?
Yeah.
From the Steelers?
Yeah.
Remember when he fished?
Yeah.
Well, you weren't there. But, you know, he's about 300 pounds, right?
Yep.
6'5", 300 pounds. He was a defensive lineman for the Steelers, right? Big dude.
Yeah, Brent Kiesel, man.
I've paired him up with his pro partner who weighed about 115 pounds. it was funny. We did that on purpose.
Sure.
But he was a great sport about it, and they did well.
Yeah.
We had a couple other Steelers over the years, but super talented fishermen from across the state. We actually have a father-daughter team that's coming all the way from Tennessee to fish this year, you know. So that's super. And they finished second last year, and he was so proud because his daughter is a collegiate softball champion. And he's originally from the Youngstown area, John White. So this is a homecoming for him to come back and fish with his daughter. And they almost won last
year. Hey, you'd be surprised the women that get in there and do good.
Women are good fishermen. It's been my experience over the years, and I've wrote about this, and I think Jack has too. Women are good fishermen. First of all, they got great hand-eye coordination. That's why they sew and do stuff like that. And the second thing is women will listen. I used to, when I ran first mate for years and years and years for Danny Gilbencio on Lake Erie, and there'd be husband and wives come on there, the wives always caught more fish. Because if we told them to fish at 13 count, they didn't stand there and say why. Or I read in a magazine article to do this or do that. Men outthink themselves sometimes, but women listen. And women are good fishermen. When we go to Alaska every year, we always have, out of 30 people, there'll be 12 women, I think 12 or 14 this year. And I guarantee you they'll catch more halibut than me. Judy catches more salmon than me every trip. When we go out fishing, Judy catches them silvers.
Now, is that because they're better or maybe you're just not that good? What are we looking at?
Well, there's a little bit both, you know. But when we first started going up there, of course, the guys they're at the lodge and everything, you know, they'd tell Judy and they'd show Judy and they'd, you know, she'd be down at the dock and they'd say, rig that the herring like this and do that. And she listened and she's just good at it.
Yeah.
She loves to do it. That's why she'll stand there. And I don't care whether they're biting or not, you'll fish just as hard, you know. Women are good.
Yeah.
Look at Jack's wife. She's got two hole-in-ones. Most guys go a lifetime, never get one. That's
she's
the truth.
She's a good golfer.
Yeah, she's a good golfer. Yeah. And she's an excellent golfer.
Yeah, yeah. So, Jack, do you have like one fish or two fish that you think are your all-time greatest or the most memorable, or are there too many to narrow it down? Or,
well, there's,
you know,
there's a lot, but there's never enough. Isn't that the way it is?
Yeah,
yeah.
You're always one more cast. If you catch one on your last cast, then you're not done. You guys,
they might be turning on right now.
Yeah. No, really, I several fish stand out in my memory. One was on a trip up to northern Michigan with my dad right before going back to college in the fall one year. We did this annual trip up to northern Michigan, right? And it was a crummy day, weather was bad. We didn't want to go out on the lake in the boat. So my dad said, well, let's go over and try that salmon fishing over in Petoskey, Michigan. So we went over there and I ended up, we broke off a lot of fish, just casting spoons at the mouth of a river there where the salmon, and they were Chinook, they were king salmon.
Those, yeah,
they were king salmon. These fish would run up to, you know, 40 pounds, some of them. Well, I ended up finally landing one that went 30 pounds.
That's a big
So thing. That was, I mean, at 45 minutes of up and down the pebble beach there, trying to subdue that fish. That was that was certainly memorable. And I think another one, I mean, there's been a lot of great fish, but over the years, like at Lake Erie, you know, fishing tournaments, you have a last minute catch that you end up culling up 2 pounds. You throw a 3-pounder back with a 5-pounder on literally the last cast, put it in the live well, slam the lid, race for the weigh-in. I mean, those are memories that you take with you a long, long time.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest bass I ever caught was a five pound plus, and we had that practice, the fun day at Evans.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
Me and Ty were out there. Remember, it was a tough fishing day, and Absolutely. It was pretty much like that too. I wasn't having any luck, and I was just like, this is blowing. And boy, next thing you know, next cast, one of the biggest fish I ever caught. That was a pretty good one.
And you know, that's one of the bonuses of being part of the Maransky Company's United Way Bass Classic, because we have a bonus free day that we have for all the competitors and sponsors. They can come out in September and fish on Evans Lake.
Boy, I'd like to do that.
Yeah, did you see Rick perk up on that one? Boy, you got his attention.
And I'll tell you what, they got some crappies in them lakes. Both of them lakes got crappies, big crappies.
But that's a super time to be on the water. That's a bonus day. We call it a rally. There's no tournament that day. It's a rally. But,
and we can come.
But, it'll be announced to all the people who are part of this
year for that.
Oh, Ty's checking in. Ty was checking the Lake Erie bite. It's on fire. Presque Isle Bay. He's out there with Dustin today.
You tell Tyler he better eat his Wheaties. I'm in the game now. I threw my hat in the ring. You tell Tyler he better eat his Wheaties.
Yeah, if those two guys couldn't get it done last year, what makes you think they're going to get it done this year?
Are you going to get Tyler in on the wager?
Yeah, you know what? He's too cheap to even buy anything.
Yeah.
You know, he probably won't even pay up. Yeah, if he wants to jump in here, I say all three of us go for it.
Let's do it.
Let's go all three of us. Winner buys dinner. Biggest fish buys dinner.
We'll make it easy on Tyler. We'll make it easy on him.
You have to rule out McDonald's, though, right? Well, if Ty wins, is he going to take you to McDonald's? Or what?
Yeah, Jay just said, my favorite fish is the 2-for-5 at McDonald's. But, I'll tell you, we have had so much fun over the years in this tournament. And like I say, I had a chance to meet so many great fishermen.
Good fishermen.
It is just such an awesome event. And plus, look at us. I don't think we could be in a 5K run. And I'm not a golfer. So there's only so many ways I could help out, you know, on these things.
Well, you know, you're fishing with Mike. Mike is a heck of a fisherman. He's a great Lake Erie fisherman, and he's a good local lake fisherman. Hey, and I fished together a number of times.
I have, you know, you're looking at a 2-time champion right here. So you know, two-time
champion.
That's
right. I know
two-time
that.
Champion. You won with Brad.
Yeah. And then Steve Zarbaugh.
And you won with Steve Zarbaugh.
Yeah.
And that's good, though. If I can't win it, I'm glad you do. You're a good guy. You promote the heck out of this thing.
We did pretty good with Nick. But I think when I was fishing with Nick, he was just – too in tune to his own game and trying to win it. You know, he didn't want to dick around with me, and it was more
he was focused
on what he was doing.
Nick is an intense young
man. Yes.
Yes, he is. He was
just so focused. I was almost like, you know, okay, you're in my way here, you know.
He's gotten closer to national bass fishing title than anybody.
I don't know how many boats he's won.
Oh, yeah.
How many boats he won?
I think 17 or 18.
Yeah, that's how many boats he won.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't do this event either without great support that we have.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about our sponsors.
Not only from the fishermen. I mean, each boat represents over $500 for United Way. So, I mean, that's obviously a big source of the income, the revenue. And, of course, Maransky Companies, they really step up. They support United Way in so many fashions, and this is just one of them. But then we also get Fin Feather Fur. They get involved every year. Got the hat on.
Well, I got the hat. You know what? Somebody here was a little upset. Somebody thought I should be wearing a Fish and Field Report hat. I'm not going to mention any names.
But well, I'll have some hats to give away down there.
I'll bet you do.
And I know you got one or two of them.
I know.
But, but they've been involved in so many ways over the years. Donate a lot of prizes that we end up giving away to the amateur anglers in the
field.
Fisherman Central. Over, they have a great store over in Manchester, just south of Akron there, and also up on Port Clinton for the walleye crowd up there. They're fantastic. St. Croix Rods, they're a huge supporter, provide really valuable equipment for the amateur champions on both.
They make
lakes.
A good that's rod, boys. St. Croix makes a heck of a rod.
And, of course, Birdfish Brewery here in Columbiana. They're going to be our venue host tomorrow night for the mixer.
You going tomorrow night?
I'm going. I'll be there.
We'll all be there.
Yeah, we'll have some fun.
I mean, and you know, just up and down the line, the union counselors associated with the United Way, the Painters Union, they're big sponsors every year. So we have a great amount of fun with all the sponsor support that we get. It's super.
That is awesome. That is awesome. All right, guys. What do you think? We're about ready to wrap it up.
Yeah.
I think it's going to. What do you guys think, you know, with the weather and everything? What's the forecast? What are we thinking?
Forecast.
Okay.
Not going to be hot. Not going to be hot.
Nice day. Enough sun to really get those largemouths turned on.
Is this cold front coming in going to affect the bass?
No. We're going to be good by Saturday. Okay. It's going to be great.
Because it's been – okay.
Yeah. We're going to be good. Light winds out of the north-northwest, so that's just going to put a nice little ripple. You know, you need that walleye chop. You heard the walleye chop. Yeah. The bass like that too. Yep. So, I mean, it's going to be great. I think we're going to have a super day.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Jack, I want to thank you again for getting me involved and I know Joe real well. That's what's nice about it.
Joe, you and Joe will have a great day, I'm sure.
We're already planning on. He says, we got to get 20, 25 pounds. He had a good day Sunday, I guess, down there. Yeah. He says, this lake got big fish. It's going to take it.
It does.
He says, I wouldn't be surprised if it took 25 pounds to win it. You're kidding me. No. I'm telling you, Rick.
it's going to be a lot of fun. Jack, real quick, plug your book before we leave.
The Common Angler. It came out a year ago. It's still for sale. You can order it direct from the publisher at FayettevilleMafiaPress.com. If you order it from them direct, you get a signed copy.
Fishing stories from every walk of life, and then you break it down to the common denominator from whether it's pro athletes, pro bass fishermen, guy on the street.
Yep.
There's all that common.
It's all about why we fish. I mean, you know why you fish. You know why you fish. I know why I fish. And I started to figure it out. We all have this common denominator. There's something in our soul. It's part of our DNA.
Yeah, something about it.
Something about the water so attractive we can't resist. And we want to figure out how to become part of it. And we engage with the life that's in that water. That's what fishing really is. It's a passion that is like, unlike, I guess, just about anything else that you can get passionate about.
You know, amen. And I've always asked myself, I know other people, you know, that we were young, we'd get on Mosquito Creek just to catch bullheads and that. And I got into that when I was a little kid, you know, I want you online. But they never had that. You know, they never had that passion for the fishing that I did. And I could never understand when I was younger why. It's inborn in us.
Yep. It has to be.
It is something that happened to us.
So the Common Angler kind of really does into that. That's really what makes it. And it was fun to write.
Sure. And I'll bet it was.
And it's been gratifying to see the response to it.
Hey, Cindy said she's coming back in to talk about fishing. Don't leave yet.
Okay. All right.
And my next door neighbor, Big Rich, he's watching, and he's a good crappie guy. As a matter of fact, you probably ran into him out at Girard.
Yeah.
And he said that Tony hooked him up with some kind of secret crappie bait.
Yeah.
This little trout fly or something, little trout thing.
Yeah.
And he said he has been killing them on there, and he went out to Duck and Drake and bought every last one.
Every one they had.
Yeah. So if Tony wants some more of those, he's going to have to get them off of Rick.
Yeah.
So that's who has them. Well, listen, guys, it's always great talking to you, Rick, Jack. I mean, we always have a good time when
Thanks
we get
for
together.
Having us. I enjoyed
and,
myself.
I just can't wait for Saturday. This is one of the big events that I always look forward to be a part of. And we're definitely going to have some fun. And we'll see if we could put a stop to Tyler and Destin and me to you.
Hey, one other thing. Yeah. Shout out to Roxanne Seabest and Tina Chance at the United Way. They work tirelessly
yes.
to help make this event possible. So if you folks out there know Roxanne or Tina, say thank you to them. Also,
Absolutely.
Also of course, Bob Hanna.
And I want to thank my partner, Joe Walters, from Autumn Addiction. He's got a nice store up there at Mesquite. And I know him well through business and everything like that. We're real happy to be fishing again.
And then I'll have a lot of pictures on the Y103 Facebook page. And watch for my picture on the cover of Fish and Field Report holding up the trophy.
Well, Fish and Field Report's going to do the double truck article with pictures all along the border in the center of the paper and then the story in the middle. So
we're
going to get a lot of pictures and we're going to get a lot of stories.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for stopping by let's have some fun Saturday.
Absolutely.
Oh, right. We will. We can't help but have
Rick
fun.
Henniger, thank you.
Thanks,
and
Fred.
We'll see you on the lake Saturday, Jack. At the Maransky Corporation United Way Bass Classic. Take care, guys. Let's have some fun.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos